I want to share some thoughts this morning, and I want to read from Matthew chapter 27. The verses will come up, but if you've got a Bible, you might want to follow that along this morning from Matthew chapter 27. I want to really focus on a particular event that happened just right as Christ died, right on the cross for us. We do obviously know the story. You would have seen from the scripture there. We had Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was crying out to God, and his disciples just slept in those time. And we had Judas come and betray him. We saw the guards come, and he was taken away, marched off to the former high priest. Then he went to the current high priest, and then was dragged before the Sanhedrin. Then he was led off to Pilate, then to Herod Antipas, and then back to Pilate again. And that's where they had him flogged and then handed him over to be crucified. And he was in the praetorium where the Roman guards there, where he was mocked and beaten. They stripped him, spat on him, and they put the crown of thorns upon him. And then they led him off to be crucified through the angry crowd and the jeers, the taunts, the beatings, as even as he travelled, walked up the hill carrying the cross. Then finally to the hill of Calvary, to the place called Golgotha, or the place of the skull, and that's where they crucified Jesus. And I want to take up from that point from Matthew 27 and reading from verse 35 down to verse 51. It said, when they had crucified him, this is verse 35 of Matthew 27, when they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, you are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourselves. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the laws and the elders mocked him. And he saved others, they said, but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And in the same way, the robbers who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. And from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness came over the whole land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing there heard this, they said, he's calling Elijah. And immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. And the rest said, now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him. And when Jesus had cried out in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. That's what I want to talk about, this dramatic event that happened right at the very moment when Jesus had died. He uttered those words. He said, it is finished. And then we had this mighty earthquake and then this veil, the curtain in the temple, which was rent. Let's just have a little look. I just want to have a quick look at this little clip. Let's have a look at this. And I want to talk about the significance of that event, of that veil that has been torn. Let's just have a look at this. What a dramatic portrayal of that moment. And so just think in those last 6 hours the Lord was on the cross from 12 noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything was dark. And if you were anyone living at that time, you would certainly understand that something profound was happening. And then at that moment when Jesus breathed those words and said, this is finished, it is finished. And then the earthquake, violent earthquake that shook, and incredible things that happened that caused that centurion to fall on his knees and say, surely this man was the Son of God. But I want to talk about that event that we saw there with that veil that was getting rent and torn in two. And you saw the horror there on the chief priest as that veil had been rent, which was the dividing veil between, you had the holy place and the most holy place. There was a veil that separated them. The historian Josephus, the Jewish historian Josephus, who was a contemporary of that time, said that the curtain was about 4 inches thick. That's a very thick curtain. You try tearing one of these curtains, kids, don't try it. But if you tried to tear one of these, you'd be going to do it. You wouldn't be able to do it, I would expect. And certainly imagine a curtain that's 4 inches, and yet this thing was just rent from top to the bottom. And that's a very significant thing that happened when Jesus died upon the cross. And that's what I really want to look at, that this very thick, it was probably 18 metres or more high, and just have that rent down through that time. It was quite dramatic betrayal. They had the whole temple being rent. I'm not sure whether history records it in such that way, but certainly that the veil being torn, that curtain being torn down. But it was very significant because that curtain represented access to God. It represented the ability to go to God. In fact, it represented also the ability for sins to be dealt with for man. Once a year, the high priest had the job of going into the most holy place on the Day of Atonement to offer sacrifices for the sins of Israel and for his own sin as well. Only once a year. If anyone went any other time, they would be struck dead. And so when he would go in once a year, they always tied a rope on his leg just in case he died when he was in there, because they're not going in there. Only the high priest was allowed to go in once a year, so they would pull him out, have a little bell and ring me, just, yep, and come. And if he fell down, they would know and they could just drag him back out again. And so that was represented the way to God, access to God. It also represented the presence of God, represented atonement for sin, the way that sin could be dealt with. And that way had been closed, other than the high priest was able to go. But so dramatically portrayed for us the access that Jesus Christ gave us on the cross. The very sacrifice that cost him everything actually opened the door to God in a way that had never happened before. There was an access to God that was granted to us because of that sacrifice that Jesus Christ did on the cross that was not there before. And then rather than this priest who would have to go and he'd have to bring sacrifices and a whole lot of rituals that would have to go through. I'll talk a little bit about around communion. We'll talk about the blood and the significance of that. But a whole lot of rituals that had to go through, sacrifices that had to be made for his own sin and also for the sin of others. But ultimately it's demonstrating to us that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that his blood that is shed for us, the effect that that has for every one of us. And that door is open to us, and that we now have access before God, and that we don't have to be ashamed in the presence of God, but we can actually come to him because that veil has been torn away. Ephesians 2:13-14, it says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away, because remember, only person once a year could get that close to God, but now in Christ you were once far away, being brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Because there was a wall. There was a wall of our own sin which walled us off from God. There was a wall of the law and its regulations, the requirements of righteousness to be able to get to God. And it tells us here that Jesus Christ himself, that he broke down that wall, the dividing wall, that we all freely now have access to God and able to come into his holy presence. Not just into the outer court. Some will stay in the outer court, but no, they can, and they had, as you know, the division. There was the outer court, they had the holy place. But there's the most holy, sacred place. And because of Easter, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, because of that, we have access to the most holy place. And that is a wonderful place for us to be able to be and to come intimately into the presence of the Almighty God, not to be one that's far away. And as they said, only the priest, others would dare not go behind that veil to come in there because they would be struck dead. But now the way has been opened that we have direct access to the throne of God because of Easter, because of what Jesus has done. Let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 10 and have a look at verses 19 to 22. Again, it'll come up there. And it says this. It says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way was opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God," which of course is Jesus, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith." And so rather than just the appointed high priest, the religious leader, you saw the horror of these religious leaders, because people always, and unfortunately even today, people want to approach God out of religion and out of tradition. But really Jesus Christ dying on the cross was the death blow to religion, to being religious, to trying to, through external observances, from doing things on the outside, somehow getting to God. But what Jesus did, he killed religion at that day when that veil was torn, when it was rent. And it's not through sacrifices, it's not through external things, doing the right thing, going through rituals, doing things that we might somehow get to God. But it's now only through direct access through Jesus Christ. So we don't even have to stay on the outer court, but we can go right into the holy place. And so we can have full confidence, it says here. Jesus, who is our great priest, but it says, because of that, we have confidence to enter the most holy place. And my encouragement to you today is on Easter, is remember when Jesus died on the cross for you. His body, as his body was broken, as his blood was shed, he did purchase salvation for us. He made the way open for us that we might know God in an intimate way. And my challenge to you this morning is, now that that way is open, have you just settled with your salvation? Have you said, "No, Lord, I now have that access. I can come with full confidence, full assurance of faith and go into the most holy place." And what a privilege that is. And it saddens me because some people, I just see that they don't do that. Jesus has died on the cross, torn that barrier asunder. The door of intimacy and closeness to the most holy God is available. And yet they will stand back. Some maybe they'll come to the holy place, but even some will stand back and into the court where the Jewish men could be, at least. The ladies weren't allowed there. And then they further back, where at least where the ladies and other Gentiles court, the Gentiles, women's court, Gentiles, and then they could see from a long distance. But where are you? And my encouragement to you, if Easter really has a significance to you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, well then know that he died in your place for your sins. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, go into the most holy place. Have an intimate personal relationship with him, because that's what he did on the cross. It gave you salvation, but it also cut the veil and gave us direct, intimate access to the most holy throne of the living God. And don't settle for anything less than that. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die that you would be further back as an observer. Maybe, yes, I'm saved because I know that Jesus died in my place and I have salvation. I know I have the promise of eternal life, but it's far more than that. That's the beginning of what God was doing, that we might come right into that intimacy. And it's there. It says here in the scripture, it says that let us draw near to God, near to him with a full assurance of faith. And do that. It's so precious to go and to know the Lord and to be intimate with him. And that's my encouragement this morning as we remember that Jesus died upon the cross. Quite often on Good Friday, we focus on maybe the suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ to remind ourselves it wasn't a cheap salvation that we have. In fact, it is horrendously expensive, the most expensive possible, that the life of our own Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, God giving his only Son because he loved us so much, that we remember that. But remember not just what happened, remember why it happened. It happened because of your salvation, firstly, but also so that veil is torn, that you can go into that most holy, intimate relationship with your Father in heaven. And I encourage you in that this day, that you will draw near to God. The theme is unashamed, so we're going to be drawing near to God with that full assurance of faith, with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. And finally, the last scripture I want to read at the moment is in Hebrews 6, verses 19 to 20. Because a lot of things happen in this world that we don't expect to happen. Some things can happen that rock us and shake us, and things that we don't expect happen in life. Life happens in many ways. And some people go through life and get rocked and destroyed by things that happen to them. And things happen in life. Devastating things happen, shocking things, difficult things happen. But when we learn that we can go right through to the most holy place, that veil has been torn. In Hebrews 6, 19-20, it says, we have this hope as the anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters into the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. It says we have this hope as the anchor for our soul, firm and secure. And so when life happens, when things happen, there's something that we're able to stand, that there's something that keeps us. It's an anchor. We're not swept away. We're not washed away. We're not overwhelmed in a tide of the reality of life as it hits hard and sometimes. But we have this hope as the anchor for our soul, firm and secure. Firm and secure. What a wonderful gift that is, that Jesus Christ died for your salvation. He died that we might have that direct access to God. But even in this life, as we live this life, that there's something that anchors us. And there's something that keeps us. And that's knowing that Jesus Christ has made that way for us. He is our anchor. And we hold on to him and we're not moved. We're firm and secure because of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a precious thing it is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He gave us salvation. He gave us that access to the throne of God, but he's also given us the anchor. And I encourage you in your own heart, as you just go in, walk into the holy place. We have times of worship. Don't fool around in the outer court, but make the decision and say, I'm going through because Jesus has made the way through me, for me, through his own body, by his blood. And don't fool around in worship times. Don't switch off and go to sleep. He paid with his blood that you might go right into his intimate throne room. When we gather together, when you're at home, when you're doing the dishes, whatever, you can worship and come intimately with God. But just remember that you've got that anchor too. And when we've got the Lord as our anchor, when life happens, we're not lost. We're not pushed away. We're not overwhelmed. But the anchor. Just remember what Jesus did for us on the cross. I just encourage you with that and remind us of all that Jesus has done. I just want to pray for us. Let's just pray just as the team is coming here. Let's just pray. Father, just as we're here to stay, Father, we just are so grateful, Lord, for what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, Lord. And Father, as much as the events of the day just seem so tragic, Lord, and the pain of all that you went through for us, Lord, it wasn't without purpose. And Father, help us always to remember why you died. Lord, that you are our Savior, the only way to God. And Lord, that you made that way for us, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, let every person here make the decision that they're not going to fool around on the outside, but Lord, that they realize that you opened the way, Lord, for an intimate relationship with the Most High God into the holy place. So Father, even as we worship later this morning, Father, let us enter into that holy place. And Father, when we gather on Sunday, Lord, whenever we gather, Lord, let us make the decision, no, I'm going in today because of what Jesus has did. I'm entering in to that holy place. When we pray at home, let's not just be religious and say our little prayers and just do what we got to do. But Father, let us decide that we're going to enter in, Lord, into that holy place. And Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the anchor that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, even now, Lord, we just draw on you. Even now. Lord, we know, Lord, that the anchor is there, Lord. Father, we thank you that Jesus has made a way for us. Father, we just thank you. In Jesus' name. And take communion now together.